All right, welcome to the second episode of PrairieCast, where we're talking entrepreneurship and innovation in Des Moines and the Silicon Prairie. My name is Jeff. I'm a local entrepreneur, and I'm also the Des Moines contributor of Silicon Prairie News, and I'm here with...
Andy Brutkel with 48 Web.
Excellent. We're getting things worked out a little bit with the podcast. Today, we're going to try some new things. First, a week in review segment, where we do a quick overview of the stories that appeared in the Des Moines City Edition of Silicon Prairie News in the past week, and then move on to our first guest, who is Ben Milne, a local entrepreneur with a company called Dwalla.
Yes. So the first story is a recent interview with Steve Glenn, or was it his presentation?
It was his presentation. Okay. I believe it was in Lincoln, Nebraska. Steve is an entrepreneur who has done several different things. And he spoke to a group there, and I think it was about a 30-minute presentation, and we actually had a guest contributor who filmed the entire thing and put it up on the site.
Awesome. This is this the second time he's been on the site? I think I might have saw his name
that
scrolling
could be
through earlier. So have you watched that video?
I haven't had the chance to get all the way through it yet, but a lot of people have. It's actually, looking at the analytics, been one of our biggest stories of the year. It was picked up by Y Combinator at their Hacker News site, so I know a lot of people around the world saw it, and it was a great feature. I appreciate Matt Sherman from Three Pillars Media in Lincoln providing that to us.
Oh, yeah, there's a spot to him there at the bottom of the post.
Definitely. The next story, Daniel Shipton, an entrepreneur here in Des Moines, was a guest on Iowa Public Television, a show called The Iowa Journal.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Yeager, I believe, is the host of that show, and they put together a diverse group of Iowans to talk about what they saw from Iowa going forward.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, and that is available at... Is it iptv.org/Iowa Journal? They have all their episodes up there, so you can go back and watch that. And there's some other good episodes there, too.
There are. The group was, I believe her name is Keisho Scott, a professor from Grinnell College. Michael Gartner, who is a former, I guess he's a current regent for the state of Iowa, involved with higher education, and then has done some crazy high news things, like worked for the Wall Street Journal, been the president of NBC News.
Wow.
Owns the Iowa Cubs in Principal Park. Very interesting gentleman.
Hmm.
And then Sean Cray, I believe it's pronounced Crayhan,
yeah,
who founded the band Slipknot, which skews the crowd there just a little bit. But all four, including Dan, are good Iowans with lots of good opinions and a very interesting episode to check out.
Yes, Ben was just calling in. the next one is Creative Capital Pitch Session, and you did have a winner. Do you want to go through what that was, who it was, and what you won?
Absolutely. The Creative Capital Pitch Session was a week ago on Thursday. That's where we had everybody submit, or people submit pitches online. 22 people submitted. We invited the top 8 to Dos Rios to present live in 5-minute pitches. 3 finalists were chosen by a great group of judges that volunteered their time. Those finalists were 2 gentlemen from Iowa City who had a project called Golf Database. Abby Shipton, actually Dan's wife, coincidentally, who had an idea for a mobile ad network for iPhones and mobile apps, and Alexander Gukrich, who had an idea for a brewing, home brewer brew co-op called BrewSpace DSM. After they gave their pitches, and the judges, I guess, chose the 3 finalists, the crowd got to vote, and Alexander was the winner, who got to walk away with $1,000 to execute on his idea.
And is he executing on the idea? Do you know?
You know, I've seen him since then, but I haven't asked him if he has, but I would like to taste some of that beer, so
yeah.
Hopefully he is doing it soon.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty good idea. I know several friends that are actually doing home brewing, so I think that'd be pretty cool.
Definitely. Our next story was an interview with Shane Reeser, who works a full-time job here in Des Moines, and then on the side works with an organization called Startup Weekend. He has first got together Startup Weekend last year to do Startup Weekend Des Moines. I think that was last July, maybe. And after that, was tapped by those guys who are out of Seattle to facilitate their New York event. And now he's coming back to do Des Moines again and Omaha.
Awesome.
And those events are coming up in March of this year.
Yep. And those are pretty fun. Basically, you create a company in a weekend, essentially, with a bunch of other people.
Exactly. I had the benefit of participating in the Des Moines one last year. I lived in Indianapolis at the time, but knew I was moving here shortly, so I stopped in and had a good time. There's a story on that at the site from a year ago.
Excellent.
A lot of fun. Yeah, 54 hours, and at the end, you come out with several companies.
Yeah, I couldn't make it last year, but that was one of the events I really wanted to go to. It's pretty exciting.
Next, we have two features of our site. One is Tools for the Trade, which is put together mostly by our Sioux Falls contributor, John T. Meyer. And this week, he did six different tools that all beginning bloggers should take a look at as they get started.
Yeah, and those tools are Google Analytics, Bitly, Feedburner, TubeMogul, Discus, and HubSpot's great tools, which I use all of those, so those are great suggestions.
Exactly. I use quite a few of those. HubSpot I use more for Twitter. Actually, they have a Twitter grader platform where it shows you the different people who have followed you and how you're trending, numbers of followers over time, numbers of people you're following, which is kind of interesting. It also lets you discover the people in a geography. So when I was moving to Des Moines, or knew that we were moving to Des Moines, I went to HubSpot to check out who the top rated Twitter users were in Des Moines and found people like yourself and kind of helped me get into the community ahead of time and figure out who to follow.
Right. That's a great idea. Yeah. I use their the website grader a lot for client sites. When we do audits and things like that, that kind of gives you a 50,000 foot overview on how your site's performing from everything from social to analytics. So good tools there.
Very good. And our second feature is the 5 in 5, which is available to any blogger in the Silicon Prairie. It's five questions. We prefer if you do a video with those and submit it through something like YouTube. You don't have to. But any blogger is open to do that and really share your thoughts on the blogosphere locally and why you're doing your blog. And a week ago, we had one that was called Two Wine Brothers from Vinton, Iowa, over on the eastern side of the state, that they participated. And then today, we had one that I believe is pronounced Techies from Lincoln, Nebraska.
And how do you submit for that? You just is there a link on the site to submit?
There is a link on the site, or email Danny, who's our managing editor, which is just danny@siliconprairienews.com.
And just answer the five questions and give them a link to your video if you do one?
Exactly.
Okay. Excellent. Well, we will try. Should we try to get Ben on Skype, or should we break and see if it works?
Let's break and see if it works. We'll be right back.
Okay.
We are on with our guest, Ben Milne, from a company called Dwalla. Ben, how are you doing today?
Doing awesome. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing well.
Great.
Ben, why don't you tell us a little bit about Dwalla, what it is, and what you're doing?
Sure. Dwalla is a peer-to-peer payment platform that, in essence, allows one user to send and receive money with another user. A user can really be represented as an individual, a company, a government organization, a nonprofit. The applications are pretty vast, kind of like PayPal, but the idea is you have an interchange fee of 2 to 5% typically with like a credit card exchange or an online exchange. Our service is a maximum cost of 25 cents per transaction.
Excellent.
And Ben, how long have you guys been operating?
We opened up in Iowa on December 1st, so not too long.
Okay, so you're 2 months in now. How are things going?
Really good. We're trucking along really well. We're kind of we're ahead a little bit on users, and we've been getting a lot of good feedback from people locally. Because we're only open in Iowa, it seems we're getting a lot more face-to-face feedback than what we kind of planned on, but that's a good thing. The software is evolving with feedback quite a bit.
I saw on your blog that you guys were taking votes to open up a next state. When are you thinking about doing that?
It looks like it's going to be March 1st, and it looks like we're going to go to California next.
Oh, cool. Any specific reason why? Is that where people voted, or is that the biggest potential market?
Yes and yes. We saw a good response on the poll, but we know that we have a lot of outside traffic from California. Obviously, being a web company, we watch our traffic very closely. And outside of Iowa, the largest demand for our product is definitely in California currently. Okay. And we have that kind of sign-up function on our website, so we can see we can build a list of demand. And California is definitely leading the requests without a doubt.
Oh, cool.
Ben, sometimes when I tell your story or somebody tells me they saw your video, we've done a couple different stories on Dwalla on the website. People always say, what in the world is he thinking starting a new online banking system? It seems like there would be lots of other easier entrepreneurial efforts to get involved with. Why did you start this?
Well, if you want to go big, you kind of got to go big. we thought, or I thought, there was a solution here for a very large problem. And the solutions to large problems, there are big opportunities. And if you want to get out and kind of try and go big, you just got to stop talking and start doing it. You know, if I fall on my face, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are going to say, well, maybe next time we should do something a little smaller. But, you know, for now, I think we're doing pretty well. We're doing well. I'm confident.
Now, you kind of are differentiating your product by doing that kind of the flat rate or low rate transaction fee instead of a percentage base. And if I'm not mistaken, almost all processing platforms are percentage based. Am I right?
You know, predominantly, yes. And I think a lot of that is simply because, you know, we don't allow credit cards into our system. You know, when you transfer money with Dwolla, you're transferring a cash balance that is not funded through a credit card. By not utilizing credit cards, we don't have to use their payment networks, which is really why the fees have to exist. You know, once anything kind of goes into a payment network or into, you know, well, any sort of a transaction that has kind of specific logos on it, there's a fee associated with the use of the logo. Okay. I don't think I really need to use names, but as long as you use those cards, you have to deal with those fees.
Okay.
So what we did was we basically created our own payment network, and really the website is just an interaction point or the first interaction point for our payment network.
Okay. So what are the other interaction points then?
Well, long term, I mean, there's something called an API, which is kind of like a communication device with the payment network. And, you know, in theory, the API could be, you know, linked to things like mobile phones, really any two-way type communication device, whether or not that's a parking meter, a phone, you know, a card. It doesn't really matter too much. Mm-hmm. You know, once the platform is there, it can be ported kind of out in a lot of ways. But definitely the web makes the most sense for us, largely because everyone has access to the web in the United States, or most of us do. There's a large existing community with what we believe to be a large existing demand.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely been looking for an alternative to PayPal for a long time because of those fees.
We can help with that.
Yeah. I'm already in the system.
Awesome.
One of the questions we had was kind of your customer base. Are you focusing more on B2B? Are you targeting any consumer or retail stores that would use your product?
You know, generically, I would say B2B transactions is where the most traffic we're seeing right now is from. It makes really good sense in business-to-business transactions, obviously. On the consumer side, the consumer is not really motivated to utilize the system until there's a merchant that kind of offers an incentive to use it. So we talked a lot to those merchants, but retail, you know, it's difficult to tell someone to pull up their laptop and, you know, pay with Dwolla if you're buying a, you know, a t-shirt or a cup of coffee somewhere. So I'd say largely right now, business-to-business transactions, web-based companies, and as we start kind of releasing some of our web payment platforms that allow websites to run payments through us and things like that, I think that's really where we're going to see it as opposed to retail.
And 2 months in now, as we mentioned before, what would you do differently if you had to start over?
I probably would have populated the website with a slew of user feedback initially, just so there was, you know, third-party validation to people finding the website for the first time. I think we got a lot of local buzz through kind of the Des Moines Register article, but it kind of fizzled out a little bit because I think some people hit the website and thought, okay, well, this is neat, but what do I do with it? And we've kind of built that traffic back up and then some, but I think we probably could have capitalized on it a little better just by, you know, having a little bit more information and user feedback once people found it for the first time. We're seeing them come back, so that's good. That's good.
You talked about doing some sort of website payment thing. Is that going to be similar to a PayPal Buy Now button?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an application for it. I think we've got some kind of unique features that are really going to set it apart from what's out there now. But an easy way to look at it is kind of, you know, if you're on a website and you click, you know, pay with PayPal, pay with Visa, it's just another button for pay with Dwolla. Mm-hmm. And then there's kind of an interaction point with our website that has some cool little, I don't want to call them tricks because they're not tricks. We just kind of do a few things differently. And I think once we release that, it's kind of for some people, and I think for some developers, it's kind of going to be, oh, that's pretty cool type response. We're really looking forward to it. So hopefully you'll check out the video when we kind of start talking about how to integrate it and releasing some of the the integration information.
Okay. Yeah, my other integration question I had was, if you are planning on tapping into any other platforms, like for instance, Basecamp, there's time tracking, and I would love to be able to, you know, create an invoice and shoot that into Dwolla to capture the payment, or
Definitely.
Maybe yes. FreshBooks integration or things like that. Is that something you guys have thought about?
Yeah, definitely. Again, that's really an application for our API, which we haven't opened up yet. We're in a very unique situation where the demand is a little bit higher for our product right now than what we'd anticipated. And that's really good because we have a lot of room to grow. But with kind of branching out state by state, we want to make sure we don't expand too fast. And part of that expansion problem could also come from opening the platform too much. To a company like, you know, Basecamp, who has significantly more users than we do, say it's a hit with them, we can't service their whole user base.
Right.
So we're kind of trying to build out that initial platform. And then once we have that platform built out, we just sort of open it up. Some people liken it to opening the floodgates, but that sounds a little uncontrollable to us, yeah. So I like to use that term. But yeah, definitely. There is the API is really an interaction point with other software. And building that out to communicate with other software platforms is something that we are definitely laying the groundwork for right now. And it's just another application, definitely. Right.
And why is it that you're going state by state? It seems like that limits your growth, but I know it's a very, very diligent reasons why you chose that.
Well, the state by state issue is, well, one's a cost issue. The business that we are in requires very specific licensing in each individual state. And we don't really need to be everywhere at once to hit our growth projections. So we're really just kind of doing what every startup does. You know, we're budgeting ourselves as much as possible. We are trying to be in the places that will allow us to hit our projections while, you know, proving our proof of concept and really just scaling it as we plan to, rather than just kind of going out and just kind of shotgun blast, trying to take everybody in at once and then dealing with the problems that we have.
Like Twitter?
Yeah, even though I know they're making money now.
Right.
But that's another thing is we're not in the valley. We don't have some of the things that, you know, some of those other companies may have, and maybe someday we will. But right now, you know, we need to be, you know, very conscious of what we're doing, where we're doing business, who we're doing business with, how our platform is being utilized, and really just, you know, making sure we do everything right. And if we come out of the gates and we make a big mistake right now, we're dead. We just can't do it.
Right. Now, while we're talking about scaling a little bit, are you using any kind of cloud implementation to run the back end, or is it how's it kind of set up?
Well, unfortunately, I can't really get into the back end of the software too much. I know that's kind of a boring answer, but for now, I kind of just can't get into how it functions.
Right.
But I will say that, you know, we don't use shared computing, at least not for the payment. The customer service is another side, but we don't use shared computing for, the payment side of things. So the customer information stays, you know, on our servers, and it doesn't go out on a large network, so to speak.
Right.
And it doesn't kind of just go out into the internet world. It stays on our servers, and, you know, those are also locally done. Yeah.
Okay.
Ben, I'm sure a lot of that is security reasons, both why you can't tell us and why you've chosen to do what you've chosen to do. Are deposits insured like you'd find at another bank, or how does that work?
Yeah, everything that moves through Dwolla is FDIC and NCUA insured. Basically, NCUA, not everyone is familiar with it. It's basically the credit union equivalent of the FDIC.
Very good. Switching topics a little bit from your technology to why you're in Des Moines. This podcast is specifically targeting Des Moines, but then we have a little broader audience. Tell people why you chose to locate here.
Really just access to a wide array of people. if you're in Iowa, I think Des Moines kind of has everything. Des Moines gives us access not only to investment capital, but a lot of expert advice and expert opinions. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with, you know, the insurance companies being there. But nonetheless, Des Moines really has the tools we need right now to, you know, build out our platform and kind of build our company up to the next stage.
You said something earlier about when we were talking about Twitter, that not being in the Valley has some certain drawbacks. Can you tell us what drawbacks there are for being an entrepreneur in Des Moines, and what are the benefits of being an entrepreneur in Des Moines?
Well, I mean, one of the benefits is definitely cost. I mean, Iowa is not a incredibly expensive place to do business. Des Moines is more expensive than some other towns, but it's a cost-effective place to do business. There's a lot of really good talent that you can afford to do business with without kind of going broke. Mm-hmm. So with that said, I think one of the big advantages is really just that we could afford to do business here without having a huge investment backing. You know, and the downfall is also we're in Iowa. we're pretty far removed from a lot of the stuff going on in the kind of the tech sector. And I think some people would beg to differ, but you know, if you get on TechCrunch or anything like that, you know that while there is feelers out to Iowa and into the Midwest, predominantly the coverage in the Midwest is, you know, Silicon Prairie News and things like that. It's not big, massive websites like you kind of see coming out of California, which is fine, but it's definitely a small disadvantage.
Well, and we're working to raise the profile of what we're doing, obviously. And profile of what everybody else is doing. When you say things are cheaper here, are you referring to like office space and access to like the operations of the business?
You know, I in a lot of ways, kind of an all-encompassing yes. I mean, the administrative costs of being here is lower. The cost of doing business, even if you're dealing with, you know, certain, you know, documents or things like that from attorneys, there are ways to do it, I would say, less expensive here. And a lot of it's just simply because being here allows me to pull from, you know, my own Rolodex, so to speak, people I know or relationships I have. So, you know, somebody can do me a favor, or I can, you know, revisit someone I knew, you know, that I used to work with. And if I'm out there, I can't really do that. I can't pull from anybody. I just have to, you know, walk in everywhere, pay top rate and do billable hours and, you know, all that stuff. There's not really a way for me to, you know, utilize my own base and group out there. Maybe that's what, you know, contributes to the lower cost for us here. But, you know, by large majority, there's a lot of space in Des Moines. There's good attorneys that work for a fair rate. There's great IP people, and a programmer won't cost you an arm and a leg, and they'll do good work and they'll show up to work. You know, being in the Midwest definitely has its advantages, and obviously I want to be complimentary to the Midwest, but I don't want to be insulting to anyone else because I also don't live out there and I don't know everything.
I think the trust factor gets overlooked a lot when you look at doing business in the Midwest. It is easy to, my experience has been that it's easy to find people that you trust, either from having grown up with them or known them for a long time, or really if somebody's doing shady business, it's really easy to uncover here. Nobody gets very far in their business operating that way without somebody figuring it out and it getting out to the community. So that is a big point that I think we don't talk about enough.
Yeah. I worked with a startup a few years ago, and they were transplants from Southern California, the Valley area. And he said the biggest thing about Iowa workers that they actually show up to work and work. It's like, you know, they can't just take a day off and go surfing because it's Iowa. So it's like there's really nothing else to do but work. And that creates this work ethic that you just kind of mentioned, that, you know, they'll show up and they'll get the job done.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought that up, because it's definitely bad weather we go to work, good weather we go to work. It doesn't really matter. 7 days a week we're at work.
Right.
But, you know, the Valley definitely has a lot of advantages, and I think being in the Midwest has a lot of advantages. And if our project requires us to migrate, we'll probably migrate. Whether or not that's East Coast, West Coast, North or South, it's, I mean, you guys know how projects work. You do what you need to do to make the project happen. And at the end of the day, Iowa makes great sense for us right now. I don't really see us leaving for any reason. But I think that there are definitely advantages to being on the coast. And even though, you know, not everyone would agree, I think there are definitely advantages to being in Iowa. And those are kind of why we decided to do this here.
It would be interesting to talk with you a little bit after March 1st when you release in California and see how people have gravitated to your system, if you have to change operating because that you're in a state that is not, you know, geographically contiguous. It's on the other side of the country, and see how that works. Just one more question, and then we can wrap up here. I asked this question to Mike Ferrari, who's with another startup in town called Smarty Pig that's got a lot of another banking startup in town. It's got a lot of national press. Do you ever overlap with what Smarty Pig's doing, or what, you know, Wells Fargo has a large national center here, and there's obviously lots of local banks too. But from a banking center perspective, banking is one of our biggest industries. Do you guys in the new version of banking and money transfer ever get together with kind of the old parts that are the established parts and build up that cluster together, or are you all working independently?
I think it's definitely something where we have to work together. You know, the projects are all different. They're you know, similarities that they all deal with money. Sometimes it gets confusing for people. Well, aren't you a bank, or, you know, aren't you a competitor of Smarty Pig? And, you know, we all deal with money, but we're not really direct competitors. And with that said, you can't really be in, you know, the financial sector without working with banks in some way, shape, or form. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, banks make the decisions. I guess I wish I wouldn't have said that because I don't want to spend a half an hour trying to explain what I mean. But I guess, yeah, we definitely have an open communication. I think between all of us. You know, we have to communicate so we kind of know what the other one is doing a little bit. You know, we deal with banking regulation even though we're not a bank, so we always kind of need to know what's going on in the banking business. And kind of what's going on with people in town is always good because we're trying to build better relationships with them.
Makes a lot of sense. Well, Ben, we appreciate you coming on today, and especially appreciate you being our first ever guest on PrairieCast on our second ever episode. So
the little, I didn't know that.
Oh yes, we're just getting started, and appreciate your time and willingness to work with us. And where can people find out more about Dwolla?
Just Dwolla.com. If you type in Dwolla in any search engine, you'll find it pretty quick now. And there, just kind of poke around the website. Let us know if you have any problems, questions, or anything else. We're not going anywhere.
And that's Dwolla for those of you listening.
And you're also on Twitter, and Dwolla's on Twitter. You're personally on Twitter, I know. And you mentioned earlier, if someone's interested in bringing Dwolla to their state and it's not there yet, what do they do?
Just be vocal. Go vote. You know, there's a poll on the website. But really the best thing to do is right on the front page, there's a little section for new users where you just sign up for an invitation. And that's really what we look at more than anything else in terms of deciding kind of where to go.
And you can sign up even if it's not offered in your state at this time.
Yep. We won't approve the invitation, obviously, but it definitely kind of gives us, you know, it allows us to pre-populate our list a little bit. So we know that when we release in that state, how many potential customers we have, you know, sitting ready, to use the system, or at least just expressing interest. It removes our barrier to entry to the market quite a bit. So it's just go out there, express interest, and, you know, we'll follow the interest. There's no doubt about that.
Excellent. Well, everybody, please do that. Thanks, Ben. We'll talk to you more soon.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it, Andy.
Thanks.
Bye. Right. Bye.
Thank you, Ben, for calling in. Called in over Skype, so hopefully that sounds good at the end result.
You hear the little Skype beeps in the background.
So, yeah, we'll link up to all things Dwolla on the post. We'll get those stories linked over too that we talked about in the beginning segment. Excellent. Is there anything else you wanted to cover in the second episode?
I think that's pretty good for episode number two. Mm-hmm. We'll be back again next week. I want to thank everybody for joining us today at PrairieCast. You can get information on pretty much everything we talked about today, in the week in review especially, as well as two or three stories about Dwolla. We've got a video interview with Ben we did early on, maybe October when he first started. That's all at siliconprairienews.com.
Yeah, and you can, I think the top right, oops, beard scratch. Yeah, top right, you can search on SPN. So if you just go up there and search Dwolla, you can check out all their coverage of that.
Absolutely. Andy, where do we find out more about you?
YouMetAndy.com or AbeRutkel on Twitter.
Very good. And I'm going to give a different URL today because I've got half a dozen of them. let's go with WoodToYourMoms.com. That's been my personal website since I was in college. That's Wood, the number two, YourMoms.com. We'll explain what that means on another date. But yeah, look us up. Let us know if you have questions, if you have suggestions for additional guests. Mm-hmm. We're definitely open to that.
All right. Thanks for tuning in.